There are ACP supervisors who are at the shelters 7 days a week. Now, do the ACP supervisors have the authority to say to the New Hope partner, I want you to help with this? Absolutely. There's no reason for them not to. We're not going to go in and say to the ACP supervisor, you have to be the one to do this, to get the dogs out, to do this, that, and the other. We're just trying to put a level of 7-day-a-week service on it. So, you know, we're just, that's all we're trying to do. So, I don't know when people thought this was going to start, but, you know, May the 15th is currently. The thing that we're not cut off with emails, whatever that was, there was a glitch in the computer system, and I think as soon as somebody told Dara, she fixed it. So, you know, nobody has been cut off. Nobody will be cut off. You know, these people that you love dearly will still be there helping you, but there will be 7-day-a-week coverage and supervision. That's all. You don't know that until you find out from the ACP supervisor what kind of help they're going to ask for in each shelter. But I do know that we need bodies taking care of the increased number of animals coming in. The ACP supervisors can personally handle, or they can ask the former ACPs or any ACP who's there to help you. Doesn't mean that you won't get the medical records. Doesn't mean you won't get anything. I mean, if you have a problem getting through, the first thing you should do is email Mark and copy me. It will be fixed. So what we're going to do is Veronica is still going to be, Veronica's actually taking on sort of two jobs. We're expanding the foster program. We have an ACP supervisor, Tori Strong, who's heading up the foster program, and Veronica actually wanted to work with that. So that's kind of something she wants to do. She will also be working to send out the email alerts, because they'll all go to her and she will funnel them out. I talked the other day to one of the New Hope volunteers from North who had an idea for how to do a more often blast out. And so we're working now to see if our data system will allow that and if Derek can figure out how to do the program so that, you know, every couple of days so that a list goes out so that there is more sort of up-to-date information in the New Hope assessment. So, this one is a little bit hard to see, and I apologize for not having the perfect.
Will this presentation be on your internet site? Will you be able to see this? I can't see it from here at all.
I'll be glad to send out a PDF of it to the patient. Yes. There is some good news. And I think part of what we need to do is look at what is succeeding at some level. These are the all animal live outcomes, not just dogs, cats, bunnies. These are all animals. So from 2011 to 2012, 2011 our live outcome was 8,125, and this year is 8,200. The live outcomes are up. The numbers coming in are still up. So that you know, sort of tilt our numbers. The deaths are down. We're down 384 comparing where we are year to date, 2012 to 2011. So, and in just dogs and cats, we're down 291. If you look just at the dogs and cats and the live release rate, which is, sort of the part of the no-kill equation, you can see that we're still up. 2012, 7,561 dogs and cats live release compared to 7,378 the year before. So they're up 183 animals. That's because of you. Absolutely because of the work that you do to get the animals out. And it can get better. Yeah. I think it's a very difficult situation when you have had somebody that you feel is like your personal shopper or your personal whatever, to think that that's going to be taken away. And we're not, that's not really what we're trying to do, but we are trying to get more people in the shelter to take. We're trying to get more people in the shelter to take care of the animals who are here and give them the care they need and deserve. I mean, that's all. I mean, it's a very complicated equation. And in terms of the volunteer liaison, you know, I've had nothing but complaints about we can't get some limitations, we don't do this. Well, I don't blame the volunteer liaisons for that. They run sort of at a breakneck pace all the time. They never have time. But as a result, what's happening is sometimes the paperwork stacks up. It's better at some shelters than others. Sometimes there's not a regular schedule of orientations. About 6 months ago, we asked the volunteer liaisons to do an orientation, two orientations a month, once during the week and once on the weekend, once a month. But they can't keep up with it, not because they don't want to, not because they don't care, but because they cannot keep up with the pace. They have a lot to do. So what we're trying to do with this is have Arlene, and I don't know if you all know Arlene, but she does a very good volunteer orientation, will travel around to the different shelters, and she will do a volunteer orientation one day a week and one weekend day at all the shelters, so that we can get people in the volunteer program to increase the volunteer program. Because if you think we don't need you and don't want you, I mean, we have to have people handling the animals, petting the animals, helping with the animals, training the animals, walking the animals, petting the cats. There is no way that we can give the animals the care that they deserve and that they need without a strong volunteer force. So all we're trying to do is make it stronger. The volunteer liaisons will still be there. They'll still be helping, but they won't have the same responsibility for doing the orientations or anything else. And they'll have some more time to get, you know, to do more with the animals in the shelter. We're going to pass that question. What we're trying to do is, you know, streamline the paperwork. Part of it is about paperwork. You know, if each volunteer liaison has to do all these orientations and deal with the paperwork and file all the paper, you know, So, you know, that's what we're trying to do with the volunteers. And the volunteers will all be coordinated by Leslie, Janet Harvey Shelter. I think, you know, Leslie, she loves volunteers, and she's done a great job coordinating volunteers down there. So, still out of question card. So what I want to do, this was the notes on what we were talking about the volunteers. Doesn't mean your volunteer liaisons are going to be removed from the shelters or anything else. It just means that they won't have a level of paperwork. They won't, you know, they won't be responsible for doing the orientation. And when the volunteers get to the shelters, the ACP supervisors will either train them or assign them to a volunteer liaison or another ACP to train them. We are trying to grow the volunteer force. So the one other thing that I want to talk about is, what's the goal here? I mean, you know, We'll get it. This you can't see. These numbers are sort of interesting. I think if you break things down into smaller pieces, then you can have something. And these numbers were not round at all. These were sort of roughly done this afternoon. The one you're going to say, but here we're at 85, that's lining. It's calculated on lining, and I'll fix this before I push it. But, you know, last year we had 57,934 animals coming into the shelter. And if we figured what 90% life safety rate would be, that would be 52,000. So that would mean that the untreatable suffering would be 5,793, that's 10%. So if we look at this, we go all the way down, we can figure out that about 17,869 animals who are healthy, adoptable, or treatable are being killed in our shelters every year. We need to help us get them out. And how can that work? If we find one good adopter in every 244 people, that does it. If we do enough spay neuter that we reduce the animals coming into the shelter by about 3,500, that does it. Or some combination of the two. It is very doable. It is within our reach if we work together and if we pull together to make it happen. You know, that's right now we're at a rate of about, you know, 4 to 5 animals are being put to death for 1,000 people in a life. We can stop that. We absolutely can stop that. You know, and I don't care whether your group cherry picks or whether your group takes the hardest of the hard. That's your flavor, that's your mission, that's what you do. It's absolutely individual. Different groups do it differently. And however your group works is how your group works. And that's the way it should be. There are certain rules that are the same for everyone. Any adoptable animal is available in the shelter for 24 hours before anyone or any group can take it. That the animal must be available on our adoption floor for 24 hours before it can be taken by anyone.
Even best friends.
Even best friends. And I would invite you, by the way, although they did take home all of our adoptable animals that we've been placed at the super pet adoption, so they might have a lot of really cute ones up there now. But the last time I was up there, I saw a lot of people. So I think you might want to just take a look before you assume that they're doing scary thing. I would probably do a lot more here. So. So, you know, we can do this. We can do this together if we're willing to do it. And, you know, let's go that way. This is one of my favorite slides. So we don't have to agree on everything. But there are some non-negotiables for me and for this city, I believe. You know, we've been talking about New Killing the City since Mayor Hahn. And we are closer, we can taste it at this point, if we work together. And what's not negotiable is that we have to figure out how to save the lives of all the adoptable and the treatable animals. That is not negotiable. We have to provide spay and neuter and make it accessible so everyone can comply with the spay and neuter ordinance. And we have to protect our community and say no to animal cruelty. And if we can sort of focus on those three things and let some of the other stuff fall away, I believe we can work together, and I believe we can get there, and I believe we can do it. And I think it could be a great day for the animals in LA. How much money does LAAS save by cutting we don't save any money, we're just giving animals better care, and we're not cutting them. I mean, I don't know. If people still think we're cutting them, then I don't think you can understand anything to say. Are the ACP supervisors getting... No, they're not getting any raises. Let's see, wait a minute. It's not because of New Hope. They're not getting a bonus because of New Hope. I think the coalition is negotiated, right, but it has nothing to do with anything except the class. And I think the ACCs will probably get the same raise because the coalition negotiated. But I'm not sure what that is. Writing all impounds or just adopt them. Oh, all of them. As soon as the sand dies us out, we count everything. We even can't recount the bottle numbers. We count everything. That's a total number. Will we get a direct contact cell phone? Yes, I already answered that. Why are you against our law mandatory spay neuter? That's not true. The conversation that Mr. Gess keeps fighting was actually about increasing the pet limit. It wasn't about the spay neuter order.
That's false, Linda.
Please re-listen to the tape. Please explain the public process, timeline, and opportunity for public input, and how we will know about these opportunities. Why do we have no sign-in sheets for people who want us? You know, we do want a sign-in sheet, and I actually thought that you might want to maintain your anonymity, but you're welcome to sign in on the sheet. There was a couple of town hall meetings about telling them that the people did not want to sign in because, you know, they just didn't.
I have
to record what we did. Why not utilize the volunteer force to fill the gaps in the employee force? Without single designated volunteer coordinator, you will have a lot of one-time volunteers and will lose the exchangement. You know, we are trying to grow the volunteer force. There's always attrition in the volunteer force. There is a person in the community who is away this particular week learning about major volunteer programs in other cities, who is trying her best. She's working through another nonprofit to try to provide us someone who will be overall coordinator to us. She will be a volunteer coordinator, but between the help of this organization and this very generous person, they will be paying for some kind of stipend. So we are very much looking to grow the volunteer program. It's critical to us. The evidence of dogs and puppies, who is responsible for calling to let us know that that new building? Well, I think that's a great question. I don't see that there's any reason that people who are new walking around the shelter know that now. The supervisors will be expected to walk around the shelter and know that. And if there's a problem with that, we'll fix it. Email Mark and copy me. And, you know, that's the best way to get things done. We're sort of doing the perfection. It's just you don't get the perfect on the first step. Would you consider a program allowing volunteers with security clearances to help after hours? We have had shelters that had volunteers help after hours, and I knew that was happening, and I approved it. It's been up to the management of the shelter, quite frankly. One of the challenges that we have is that after 5, when there's only a couple of people here, it's harder to ensure everyone's safety. But I think that's certainly something that we can talk about. And, when it was being done here at the shelter, it was with my knowledge and with my approval. And so some of the other shelters, the management didn't do it. So that's sort of, it's been shelter by shelter, but I'd be happy to work with people to talk about that. And just sit with the group and talk about how that could work. Why, when the values of the New Hope Partners stay open, honest, and transparent, the New Hope Partners not consulted or notified of this change prior to its being linked to the public? I think it was the New Hope Partners that was the New Hope Partners. That's all right. Sorry, she was wrong. There wasn't any person in the program's not over. So that came. The change went off because of a technical glitch. Oh, but it's not true. The answer is that the numerous. Why, when the values of the new birth program stay, other than an honest transparent communication with new birth partners, for the new birth partners not consulted or notified? So that's, you know, it wasn't raised in Salon, so we're trying to work out the details. And, you know, it's, you know, Let's just talk about that. You're not responsible for maintaining the budget. You know, you're not responsible for the animal care. And there is a level of switch. We, the management team, me and my top managers, are charged with certain responsibilities. It's not that we don't want to communicate with you, but we can't do everything that you always want us to do. And provide the best care within the constraints of the budget. I mean, why are we here tonight? Because we want to try to clear the air and get them going in the right direction. Count is now taking the liaisons from several people and putting one person in charge of it logically to make it easier if having several people do it to our CEO's attorney. You know, we put more staff on this. I don't understand. I have the statistics showing when the volunteer orientations were held and how long it took to process the paperwork, so I was there. It's your shelter, isn't it? A site that you got last to download about you down there, it was an exception. We are having a lot of complaints about volunteers who were not getting into the system quickly, and we were getting very frustrated and wondered if we were going to have volunteers. How will kennel supervisors do the same job as we do? You know, kennel supervisors should be on the floor walking around all the time, knowing the animals in the shelter, making sure things are being cleaned. And if they're not, you should tell us and let us know about it. You should tell us about it, please. Every day that the kennels are not playing and that they're
not.
If you're not getting the same or better service, let me know and give me names and times.
Thank you.
Well, let's try. The next question says, if you find that your new plans do not work in facilitating new hope adoptions resulting in less animals saved, will you review your decision in the future? Absolutely. If you can't change your mind, you can't change anything. I mean, you know, we've got to work through this stuff. But you've got to let me try to give the animals better care, too. I mean, you know, the whole thing is, you know, this is a major person. You guys are major contributors, major players in your life. You can take out somewhere between 6,800 and 7,000 animals a year. You know, veterans can never get that many intentionals up there. I mean, you know, you are the key. Why is best friend willing to pay you $150 for every animal that you adopt over your baseline from the last year? Because they want Ella to get no guilt, and they want you to help do it. They're trying to get, they're trying to help you. I mean, how will these changes affect foster programs? Well, we hope the foster programs are going to grow, and we're actually not. I mean, that's why we've asked an ACP supervisor, Tori Strong, to be in charge of it, and that's why Veronica is so excited about helping with it. I mean, Veronica wants to do it all. She wants to help with the foster programs. She wants to be the one who gets the emails out to everybody to, you know, to help network. I mean, you know, we're not losing Veronica. We're trying to come in her. If manpower is such a low, why not allow volunteers more access and more time to them? You know, that's what we're trying to get to. That's how you ask this question, but why not allow the volunteers, why, rather than tying the volunteers' hands by making it so difficult to help, why not let them come in more? Of course, we don't agree with the program. I mean, that is very much what we want to do.
That's my question. And, I mean, it's even beyond this. It's easier for us to come in when you want to come in and help. And also, like, a lot of arbitrary rules are made to make it so we can't take certain dogs out for some reason, or, you know, but the animals are still available for adoption.
We do have to figure out ways to identify which animals can be safely taken out and which volunteers have better handling skills than others. I mean, I think that's probably fairly critical because some, you know, there's a lot of dogs that, you know, I might be able to handle, Charles might be able to handle, and other people might not be able to handle. We have coordinators. Let's get through this question. New HOPE coordinators were voted policy by the commission. GM is not allowed to change the commission directives without its stated approval. Why are you violating the city code and disrespecting the commission's decision? Well, actually, I talked to the city attorney today, and I talked to the personnel division today. We are not doing away with a new HOPE coordinating position. We are changing who serves in that role. Aren't you aware you're going to lose many volunteers with your plan? This is a stupid plan. I
promise
you I'm not editing this. And that I'm not censoring it. Okay, I mean, there's a lot of interest in this. Now, this is another one. How can volunteers are not allowed after hours? And we've answered that one before. Why can't volunteer force be allowed to give out citations for the non-compliance? Okay, so if you, we are trying to set up another RACO training program, and if you go through the RACO training, you can for sure. Whether or not citizens can be allowed to do that, I need to go back and do my homework. But But it's a good question. I know if you know what rank is, our reserve officer.
Yeah. Okay. You have to be armed, Brenda, and I volunteer for that position to go out around my neighborhood, which is Van Nuys, and cite everybody personally to strike with that. And I was shot down because I won't carry a firearm.
No, the officers don't carry a firearm. Oh, that's what I mean.
Every officer carries a firearm.
Our new rank coordinator is losing their jobs, and will the ATPs have enough time for the new role? Are their workloads being something decreased? No, the ATP supervisors, maybe if I say this enough, the ATP supervisors certainly have the prerogative to keep on asking the same neighborhood coordinator or any other ATP to help you. I mean, we're just trying to free up a little bit of time, get rid of a little bit of paperwork for, you know, streamline some processes for the, so that we can put more care for the animals. You know, one of the other things there's a lot of stuff we're streamlining. It used to be that every shelter made their own order list for everything. And we found out a lot of waste, that there was a lot of waste going on in the shelters. And so now we have a central ordering process that we're working on, whether it's dog food. At one point, the different clinics in the shelter system all ordered their different drugs. I mean, you might have had brand X antibiotics here and brand D antibiotics here. And, you know, and it's more expensive to do it that way. So we're working very hard to do everything we can to streamline our systems so that there's central ordering and that there's central products, just to try to gain as much efficiency as we can. We're trying to act like a business. And, you know, it's been a long time coming, but it needs to get there. How many of the live release animals were transported out of Los Angeles by West Friends? Not very many from the ones that took them out. They hold some transports for us. I don't think I have that number. I didn't get it. They hold some transports for us, some of the people that we work with formerly, and do those. But I don't know. You have to ask them. If you are so concerned about money, how come the captains are all being paid following that? Well, that's the city policy. And the program, the bottom line is, when the captains come back, they will have been totally exonerated. And that's an important thing to me. The program, as it is right now, works by credit. I know you said that you are not being eliminated, but pardon me, with your history of telling the truth, I don't believe you. If the liaisons, I guess I would say I had a heck of a background check before I came here, and I wasn't found to be a liar anywhere else, except by one or two people here. If the liaison supervisors are gone, I grant you that the volunteers will stay away as well. I know I will be one of those. Would it be possible to pay for these positions, raise and maintain them?
Sure.
The city, you can give the city money and it's tax deductible and it can go into a designated fund for whatever you want to pay for.
What would that figure be for an ask? Per person? 42 per person?
Thank you. Yeah, a fully loaded ATP salary is about $90,000. It pays into the retirement and all that stuff. That's what it would cost. That's what it cost the city. That's why we couldn't get animal care. That's why we couldn't get six more ATPs out of the $450,000. It's not the salary. It's what it costs.
Right. No. I guess.
If intake is why are we not addressing
I don't understand the question.
If intake is up, why aren't we addressing the surrendering problem? The number of animals coming in. You keep saying that the numbers are up of animals coming in, and there's lots of ways to secure that.
Well, I think that we're open to ideas. Certainly what you guys have been doing down in South L.A. is a great example. We've got some bombs. We do like to do some pretty creative things. Some volunteers and old people came to me and said, what would you think if we did some tabling outside South L.A. and talked to people about why they're turning in their animals and try to offer them some resources? And we were like, cool, go for it. And they've been doing that, and they send me little charts that tell me what they're finding, and it's great. So you have an idea for a volunteer job that you want to do, come and talk to us. The chances are we're going to say yes. You do not follow up. Remember the personal question, haven't you? Then you just don't change. What is related to the question, though? Well, we did go out, and, you just make a big mountain out of molehill.
I showed you a photo of puppies being sold at an appliance store. Without licenses intact, why didn't you do anything?
Our officers didn't go out there.
And I showed you a photo.
As of right now, he takes our calls and he sends the alerts to be specific. Right now, the Newport partners still have their things, still have their email addresses. We're going to give you, if we haven't already, the phone numbers and the emails of all the ACT supervisors. And the plan for the alert is to have people from the shelter send them to Veronica at the post on a regular basis. And I'm also trying to work with our IT department to see if there's another way that we can pull the pictures off and that we can get the ACT supervisors are involved in the decision. They know the inventory of the shelter. They know which animals are on the list to be killed. And we're trying to find out if there's a way that we can code those so that list can be generated 24 to 30 hours before anything is put in. That takes you back to the old red list or green list, whatever it was. We're trying to work that out. That would be something that's been asked for that we haven't been quite able to figure out how to do.
We have a little more time. What's the dog's get?
Well, they'll go out on the list. I mean, here's the deal. When an animal has been in the shelter for 15 or 20 days and we're jam-packed, here's our dilemma. You fall in love with that dog. And the dog might be one that's really not very easy to place. So we might have to kill another dog every day to keep that dog. So we need to set some boundaries. And I think what we want to do is share the pressure that you put on us.
But I mean to notify us that we're networking, who are networking our dogs.
Yeah, but that's...
Give us, tell us a week in advance so that
we don't know
that.
There's no way that we know a week in advance because we're trying to mandate now that there can be a limited amount of vacant space for shelters. So we don't plan that far ahead of time. It really is when it starts to crowd up and we're desperate.
Does that mean that we only use 900 shelters are full then?
Yes. There will be some amount of space for incoming, but not quite it's been. It's been way too much space for incoming. And we're working now on some formulas for that. Charlotte is amazing in so many ways. Close your ears, Charlotte. As an area that is super important volunteer conference with the dogs is that of behavioral assessment. We don't do behavior assessment here, so we'll talk about that another time. That's a hot button. What we would like to do is bring in some opportunities so that we know more about the dogs, what the system they might be speak better in, similar to some of the work that Charles is doing. New Hope coordinators do ACT work already, so some do and some don't, some do more than others. Not all the New Hope partners have an opportunity to get into the kennel. Sometimes they're You know, it hasn't been working. We've been trying to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not going to discuss this now. Room for money spent building this huge shelter had a better chance of crippling 20 to 50 square meter trucks to go into the areas where the problem lies. It's hot in West LA. All of my neighbors' dogs are fixed. And they're not wandering the streets. Huh? Oh, it's not. Okay. Well, you guys who were here when they when we passed the bond measure, the Prop F, we know more about that. Somebody here passed a bond measure, and that's what these shelters are built with. I mean, it is absurd if you think about it. We've built more shelters than we can possibly staff and operate. But the money was raised from the people to do that, to build shelters. So we're very constrained. We can't even take some of the money and use it to do some repair work. I mean, so it is, you know, all that stuff is not a decision that I made or the commission made. Any changes on that has to go before the bond council and the city attorney. Your claim about having somebody available to help me with a partner 7 days a week makes sense in a reactive sense. What about the proactive sense part of New Hope? The New Hope coordinators have the knowledge and relationships to know who to call, email, get the animals out. Well, the supervisors have a clue. And they're going to be working with them. I hope the team is going to be working together. We're just trying to take some of the But when the New Hope partners are there, I expect that the supervisor would say, you know, who might we call? Would you send an email on them? You know, it's not like we're sending them to Alaska. I mean, they're not being, you know, we're not doing anything with them. Regarding the idea that more babies are needed, more bodies are needed, to care for the animals, is it not true that a strong, proactive, motivating volunteer liaison working 40 hours but effectively provides hundreds of hours of free labor each week? If volunteers are doing such as cleaning kennels and showing animals to the doctors, that is less work that ACP gets. Now the volunteers need to be supervised for the safety of themselves and the animals and the public. That's a statement. Is it not true that if the New Hope coordinator is effective, other jobs get more animals will get out and less work will remain for the ACP? If fewer animals get out, is there more work? If the ACPs actually do work their entire shift, their work can get done. We need the supervision to manage the staff, and they can't do that if they're tasked with whole other areas of responsibility. Well, you know, I'm just going to ask you to work with me, and let's see how it works. And I told you, you know, if it's not working, you know, now, if you guys decide not to pull for 3 months, just to show me I'm wrong, it'll be too bad for the animals. But let's give it a try. Let's just give it a try. That's all I'm asking you. Is it too late to ask City Council not to cut?
Your budget.
We had the budget and finance meeting yesterday, and, you know, it was very clear that what we did was we asked for unfunded authority. That is more than we don't want to know about city government. So we ask it for unfunded authorities to keep some of the positions. Council member Progress wants us to be able to keep all the positions. So he's going to back for us on that. And we probably will have other council members.
Can we help? Target, would it help if we went for a city council meeting? I mean, is there some meeting upcoming, other budgetary meetings, that if we all rallied and went?
Yes, I think that would be good, and I think also sending notes to the make phone calls to the council offices and say, you know, we have more animals coming in, we need people to take care of them.
you know, I think they need to hear from the constituents. And I think most people in the city are well aware that we are a group of unbridled passion. But you know, I mean, the union was there, I was there, I mean, actually we were speaking on the same, you know, with the same passion and the same message that, you know, that we do not cut jobs. But, there were some really good suggestions by union members who spoke at the budget hearing. They suggested that we do things like, instead of contracting out for things, that we try to do things to bring the money in. And like one example of that is, you know, we have these vaccine clinics. Okay, so the vaccine clinics are to help lower-income people get their animals vaccinated. And at the time, we did a lot of things to find out if they're spayed and neutered and get all that stuff. So, you know, I've been frustrated because the vaccine clinics continue to raise their prices every year, and we're trying to serve the low-income community with each particular health. So, you know, we are looking internally, and this was a suggestion that came from one of the union reps, we're looking internally to see if we can do the vaccine clinic, charge a little less than what the vendor charges, but still make a little bit more money for the department. And there are things like that that would justify another position. The CAA's office is willing to work with us, for example, if we do some work on licensing, stay near ordinance enforcement. If we can do some things, we have to justify the funding, and we do the funding with the licensing, but while we're out there, there's an stay near enforcement and other things. They will help us, you know, get the unfunded authorities funded. When I met with the mayor last week, he said, I encourage you to think of ways to bring more money into the department. So, you know, I don't think it's that they're not supporting us. I think it's city's in a very difficult position now, but yes, let them know that you think that we're the most important department. what good the spay neuter citations do if the people will just dump the dogs in the streets to get out of paying the fine? Well, once we cite them, we know who they are and where they live, so we keep going back. And that's one of the things that's happening like bankbusters in South LA. I mean, I got a state lieutenant voter that doesn't let anybody get away with anything. And, you know, she has her little tracking, and that's why her numbers are so high. She's very, very strong on that. And I don't know if you know that also down there in South LA, where there are a lot of stray unaltered dogs, she and Dr. Prupas came up with a plan to do free vaccines in the community. So basically, for $20, people in South LA get a DHLPP for dogs. They get a rabies vaccine, and they get a city license. Now, if the dog is not spayed or neutered, there's a spay neutered in there. They make their appointment right on the spot. And if they don't, and if the dog is not spayed or neutered, they don't really get their license, but they pay for it. So that once they come back with their certificate, they get their license, and we know where they live, and we have all the information. Now, that started, that's sort of a side benefit, you know, because we can get animals spayed and neutered, we can get the rabies vaccine, which is really important, and we can get them licensed. So that's all sort of a side benefit. This started because there was so much illness in the South LA shelters. How many people who pull animals know that the sickest dogs in South LA? So this is a response. If we can get some community animals vaccinated before they ever get to shelter, or to try to get the community healthier, then and this is something I saw work years ago in the Central Valley. The Lynn Humane Society started shipping vaccines. We were all going into the Central Valley and pulling animals and bringing them back to the Bay Area. So Marine Humane Society happened to have more money than most of us, and they sent shipments of vaccines into the Central Valley for the shelters, and they started vaccinating on intake. And once they did that, the health of the population was a whole lot better when we went and came out of the shelters. So, you know, there are things happening.
Well, I saw a case on Facebook. You have no idea how many dogs are being killed. That's the
Well, I do think that's true, and I don't discredit that one bit. One of the things that officers have reported to me that's particularly think is particularly in South LA, that's at least that's what I'm talking about, is about this particular thing. The dogs, you know, they'll be driving down the street and they'll kiss a loose dog, and the dog will jump into the yard and stand beside somebody, and they'll think, not my dog. And it, you know, it's not because they aren't good people who love the dogs. It's because they don't have the money. And so we, so one of the other things that the commission has allowed us to do, is allowing us to do, is to do more spay-neuter invited zip codes. Who thinks it's easy to get vouchers? Okay, exactly. So what the commission is allowing us to do is to get into certain targeted zip codes where we know that most of the people, when we know that the zip code is a low-income zip code, and we know that there are these overlay maps in the city. So they're low-income, they don't have cars, they can't get to the shelter to get the vouchers. So we're sending, we're working with Amanda Foundation, Slate for LA, to get those vans to go into those communities to try to stay in need of those animals. This doesn't replace the voucher program, but it augments the voucher program. So that's one of the things that we're trying to do. So that's one of the things that we're trying to do. We also did a little thing on the vets went and did the training on the chemical castration. I don't know that we're going to start doing that. It's kind of, it's got pros and cons, and I'm not going to really debate if that's going to be up to the medical team. You know, it doesn't really change their tumor, but it keeps them from being fertile. But, and then you have to figure out how you're going to kill it, though. What proof do low-income people need to get a free voucher now? What forms are acceptable? We just used that water bill, the thing is called water bill light or whatever it is. There are other ways to do it, but you have to actually talk to somebody on staff. But almost everybody, somebody in our licensing department or somebody in admin can answer that one better than I can. But we...
That's my question, and not in the condition we should be giving you, because nobody can get enrolled in Lifeline Water and Power without going home and expecting it. It's fine. It's 2 months. And the next time you see that person in town, there's nothing to do.
Okay.
So I can ask you over and over again to expand, to make it easier for the poor people coming in and beg for a voucher, unemployment, food stamps, a tax return, or something, so it doesn't have to be too much waste.
Okay. Well, one of the other things that we did, and I don't know if this is, I don't know if we, I mean, I need to actually look, because there is a list, but we sent out to all of the council members, a sheet that explained all the various things that you could show to prove that you qualified for a voucher, or you could get a $30 voucher for free. I mean, anybody who lives in the city can get that. Well, not for rescues, but for individuals. You can get them from any shelter, a $30 voucher. You can get them from a, you can get the
voucher.
Yeah. For free. So, well, these are things, these are, you know, if we...
Basic. Why can't you just expand? The people in your desk are not that stupid. If they look at an unemployment check or food stamp, they say, you know, this person is poor.
Okay, I got your point. But we can't change things. We
2 years worth of literacy.
We cannot change the laws of the city without city council action. We cannot give away services without, we can take this, we can take this idea to the fall committee, to the commission, and we can, you know, write a cogent plan for what you're asking for, and we can take it and see what we can do.
We just put out $94,000 to 1,200 250 surgeries in two South LA, yet there's another 400,000 to be distributed in such funds for qualified gifts. Seven of the gifts have no means testing required. All you need to do is show a piece of junk mail, whatever, that you live in the gift. And that money is being distributed through New Hope Partners who want to run projects. So New Hope Partners is part of the coalition. You are part of the coalition. You want to put together a project in any of the qualifying gifts, you're welcome to do so. And submit those plans with those steering committee, if it's approved, we will fund those. Again, we have $500,000 for this year for sustaining your project in these low-income gifts.
It's wonderful that they don't know about it.
Well, I think that's
who doesn't know about education something.
Well, that's part of the package of the grant, Mary. So if you want to do it, then you say, here's how we're going to do it. We're going to do door hangers, we're going to do bullhorns, we're going to do whatever. Here's the package, and we will give you the money to do it. So this is going out into the community to deliver. So it's up to the individual organization to propose the grant to figure out how to get that word out.
So the other thing is that we put on calendar saying is that we have put applications for spending vouchers out in the council field offices, because there are people who stop by their council offices too. So we're, you know, it's a process. We're you know, trying to raise it. Okay, we're getting away from the cars. I'm not okay.
By the way, if you're about to get right to the mayor apartment, that's what we do with the county. The carriage covers on this road on the test. We call it on the mayor apartment. We need a few doctors to really see this. So it's very accessible
to people. Why don't you email me and tell me how you do it? Yeah. What good does spending these citations give people just under 100? I'm repeating myself.
It isn't just to not eradicate personal responsibility. Bureaucracy is there. If the one person who is responsible at each shelter is no longer there, we'll be passing off the responsibility. And why, if we are open 24 hours for intake, why not put options? This is saving this year. Our clerks get kind of five, and that's once you take the money for the adoption. I wouldn't really particularly want to be open 24 hours, but I would like to change the hours. I would like to change the hours so that they were open for adoptions starting about 10 or 11 instead of 8, and that would be later in the day. That's a change in work conditions that has to be made. Well, that's a negotiated, that's a change in work conditions that has to be negotiated. It is something that we've thought about, and it's something that we'd like to do. What is being done regarding substandard care at Shelter Vet and One Owl Hospital? Are you being contacted? The Veterinary Medical Board has oversight over the veterinary clinic, so if there is a problem with the veterinary clinic that we feel, you know, we will report it to the Veterinary Medical Association. You too, as individuals, can report to the Veterinary Medical Association. I don't think it's one of those two. I know that there's one that's being looked at now. But in terms of what we do, if we get customer complaints, we get talk to them. We have changed the terms of their contracts for 3 years, so the ones that are coming up for renewal, we're giving them a 1 year. And one of the questions that came up in at the Budget Finance Committee was, we would like to, why don't we operate the veterinary clinic ourselves? And I would love to try operating one as a pilot. I wouldn't want to keep them all 6 of them in 1 year. But I would like to see if we could do that and get some high volumes to move one in one of our shelters, which would either be cost neutral or make a little bit of money for the shelters and really just focus on cranking out the same meter. So we'll probably be working with the CAO and all, see if we can do that. License canvassing. How can we collectively do more? applied to be a racket. We're trying to have these looked at, and I think the lieutenants are starting to talk to each other. The shelters are talking among themselves. There are differences. You know, for example, a shelter like West LA, like this shelter, when there's a call that the officers have to go out on, the traffic from here is very different from any place else in the city because it's just terrible congestion. So we're having to look at the different things that affect the different shelters to see where there are changes that made. This information is actually coming from the supervisors and the lieutenants because they are doing the work.
The license ceremony, a great question that the county really amped up their license ceremony. It seriously grew up my interest on any side of the animal that I can take.
Yeah.
I don't think it really means that the shelter is going to have to be really dumping the dogs in the desert anyway. I mean, I understand you don't have enough staff because you're intaking the dogs, so not to have the license, which I think you should consider contacting the out.
I think our city council and our unions are not in favor of that model. And I don't think I would be either. I think that our people know the zip codes, they know their neighborhoods, they know the areas around the shelters, and they think, and I think that they can do more. We did a little exercise the other day at our book set meeting. It was a lot of fun. I'm sure that the ACLU saw. Boy, it's shooting a big down on us because we started talking about license. If you assume that there's 500,000 dogs in the city line now, where a couple of years ago they figured it was 350,000 of the population increased, some people said it was a lot more. But if we could agree on just the 500,000, and if we license 67% of those dogs, we would bring in over $6.6 million. Which is what the mayor's budget cost us to support our animal control division, our officers. So, you know, we're looking at that. So then we said, okay, so who has to do this? And you know, that's when the officers are like, oh my God. Well, it's not just the officers. We now have licensing going on for the first time. We even have first licensing going on. The officers do go out, there's not a lot of door to door, but there's a lot of setting up dog parks and a variety of places so that they can, you know, get people to, you know, buy licenses. And there's a more of an affirmative. But we also have to look at our licensing staff in the building. How long does it take for you to get, you pay your license fee, you send your money after your dog license, how long does it take you to get your tag back? You know, we have to look at all of the processes. We have to look at, you know, the ones of us who try to do some PR. Do we keep it out there? Do we keep it top of mind? So it becomes, instead of the job of the ACO, it becomes the job of the department. So we all get to work together on it. And the licensing fee does go to the general fund, by the way. I mean, they fund us, but the licensing fee goes to the general fund. $7 of it goes to the sanitary trust fund, which is really great because then that gives us more money to fund low-cost sanitary programs.
Other communities are selling more licenses. They're using us. And it's very hard to do when you start to staff.
Well, I mean, I go to national conferences and I do speak to people. Yeah. But, you know, I mean, it's a process. And you know, I'd like to talk to you and learn what you know, but not what, you know.
Now,
if you need to
see
which fence that jumps into, and give us that address. Well, we do have people that, we also have people that read Craigslist, and they'll call and they'll try to get to this guy in that address. Now, people are pretty clever. They try to hide it. They really don't want to necessarily give their address when they're advertising that they're selling dogs in Craigslist, but they may be interested. How many times have you met with the New Hope coordinators and liaisons to talk about this program? Not specifically to talk about this program. I going from shelter to shelter and having regular sit-down meetings. That's been discontinued for a couple of months. Now we're starting to work on the book that, and I'll probably get back to the shelter since we get through this presidency. How will we know the behavior and medical pandemic of this? We've registered that as a concern, and that's something we'll definitely put on the list. To make sure that we've addressed. When I'm over there, I've got a little foster dog now that's on medication, and, the supervisor has told me about it, so I don't know. I understand that this is business. Employees do not always know what changes may occur, but with these changes, were the current staff of each shelter involved with the decision? Whether they thought it was a good idea or not, all three children have a different demographic, and there's possibly different needs. Was this taken into consideration as it carries to blanket children-wide decisions? The discussions were held with the ACT supervisors, without getting into personnel issues, it wasn't always as smooth as everybody thought. That's all I can say about that. The ACP supervisors were asked to have conversations with their staff. Some of them actually said they did not want to keep going into volunteer jobs. Some of them said they didn't want to keep doing it. So, it's a lot. How can we believe you are in favor of staying here when we also support breeders? I don't know. When I was interviewing for this job, they asked me if I supported mandatory spay neuter, and I said no, I don't. In other parts of the country, I think education is much better than legislation. However, they said, so if we hired you, what would you do? And I said, I'm going to pull the law. And I do feel differently about it here. I think it's a very different situation here in Los Angeles. And what is really different here, and the reason that I wouldn't have supported it before, is because most people say mandatory, but they don't give out the money to make it possible for more people to do it. Los Angeles has done both. Los Angeles has a spay-neuter ordinance and a $1.1 million a year allotment for us to spend on spay-neuter plus the $7 from the licenses. So Los Angeles City is doing it better and differently than any other city that I know of, putting their money where their mouth is. I have no trouble supporting that whatsoever. And I think it's good for Los Angeles. And I've actually worked with other communities who want to have mandatory spay-neuter ordinances since I've been here. Kenny Cardamus and I have worked with other communities on that. When is the next city council budget meeting? I don't know. But if you go onto the city website and go onto the city council, there's a schedule of all the committee meetings and the city council meetings along with the agendas, so you can see which departments are going to be heard. And if you have trouble figuring that out, email me and I'll figure it out for you, but I don't remember right now. Ensure that whomever is responsible for supervising the volunteers actually does that. Well, we'll do our best. During the period that there was no volunteer liaison at each side, many volunteers were undermined and under supervised by many mistakes to make. The behavior guards were taken out. Unavailable dogs were taken out. There were ACTs and supervisors there at the time, but nobody was watching the volunteers. It's a serious safety and liability concern. I had an email from where New Hope was made. May I read it? Connecticut is not true. I mean, from New York, you mean, right? Yeah, but when Ed came here, he changed the name of the tournament. Once a dog ends up in a shelter, are they released to owners and officers? Why are they released to owners and officers? You know, there is a piece of legislation that we've been working on. I think this is that part of the, you know, the ordinance. We are trying to strengthen the strangulator ordinance. And I think that there is... Yeah, if they come in one time, and the second time. Yeah. Yeah, that's right. Please, it's going to work on strengthening the strangulator ordinance. If they come in one time and they're altered, they can redeem them, but if they come in a second time, they can't get them back unless they're
strangulated. But I know, Brenda, I look like my turn dogs in. That I have proof of the day numbers, three times in Dallas, three times they've been released unaltered.
Well, that law has been passed.
One time it was my neighbor, and one day he released my neighbor, that neighbor, and they had a conversation with the neighbor. Number 10 on your adoption agreement states that the dog is still on the front because even after you pay the fee and it's adopted, it can go back to the rightful owner. And they had a dog at a clinic, pulled from me three times now, he's out. That number 10 needs to be deleted from the adoption agreement.
There are a number of things that we're trying to strengthen in that, such as some of the exemptions. So, I mean, when it was originally written, it was well done, and it covered a lot of material. And there are just a few things that we believe that we can adjust that will make it stronger. And I know that I remember a few of them on the committee, but Paige has been working on it, and some of the press office has been helping. Judy Montesa, I don't know, a few of them.
From my point of view, one of the things that you're saying really well written, I didn't find it so, but I knew it had to be written in some way to get it on, So, now it's being revised the way the city needed to go in the first place. Well, the city was good, you know, over the ordinance, so the city that they have it next time, and it had to be watered down a lot. So now,
we're being worked on, and the city attorney's weighing on this stuff. So, Hayes and I don't always get our way.
It would be like mandatory
saving. Right. Regarding spaniards for the needy areas of LA, Downtown Dog Rescue has low-cost clinics that include microchipping donated by...
Save LA.
It's a
group.
Okay, every month at Go Watch. And I think we're doing some vaccine clinics.
Yeah, that's how it all started. And now the foundation is doing the St. Neuter, and GDR is basically overseeing the whole project. And
it sort of comes in the city and the county come together there, and the city's there selling licenses, and the county's there selling licenses.
And we're trying to help out, like our group.
CFLA is actually donating the money for all the microchipping, and we're also assisting people who can't afford the license fees. So, I mean, for this is from the previous conversation about low-cost spay neuter. There are things going on, and so, like, downtown dog rescue is a good source to go find out more about that.
Is the spay neuter ordinance? Anything that we can do to get the word out is really important. This question is, the spay neuter ordinance in all of LA or just in Incorporated? Every bit of the city of LA is included in the spay neuter ordinance. The other thing that's always surprising to me is to find out that people do not know that dogs need to be licensed. I mean, as much as, and there was a flurry of information during the amnesty period where people could call up on their licensing, but it's still, people still don't even know that they need to have a dog license. So, you know, we have a lot of education to do, a lot of getting the word out.
Are there people that already know about licensing? That's a good question. So we're trying to improve communication.
So what you're talking about and what you all have seen has a little blue header on it is a program called Simple Send, and it's available to other departments in the city. And we just found out about it. A month or two ago, we set it up, we're growing our database. Right now we have about 7,000 names in it. And you can segment the list. You know, we can send it to different partners, we can send it to volunteers, we can send it to donors, we can send it to the city family, council offices, and council office staff, commissioners, or we can send it to all of them. So it's, you know, we're trying to do, we have a press list in there. So we're trying to do what we can to get ready to ramp up our PR. I don't know if you all saw, did anybody see the NBC LA promotion, the Facebook promotion? They helped us raise with that life program $20,000 to get LA Subaru. I mean, that was sort of incredible. We have earned because of increased adoption for the city over $20,000 from Best Friends. So there are things that we're doing to try to generate more income for the, you know, for the department and for the animals. So, you know,
I have an adult who wants to do that. What do I do?
And when I get these, I cut off who it came from, and I send the officer the address, and then I ask them to let me in. And when they have to let me in,
you never know who did it.
Right. So I don't send it anymore. But whatever happened with you, your name shouldn't have been sort of sent out. I just take the name and address to the officer for that particular neighborhood and call it in.
I'm in West LA, beautiful.
Yeah. We have to find the athlete, the celebrity, with, you know, like Danny, who will go out and, you know, the Monto guys who say, you know, Danny has this poster and he's standing there with all of his tattoos looking as mean as can be, and he's got a Rottweiler beside of him, and it says, real men neuter their dogs. And I said, Danny, that's so great, but you got to put Dolly in the background. That's New York. So he will do it. And he said, okay, we can change the city. But, you know, that's the kind of thing we've got to get the right people to be speaking, because there are communities that don't hear me at all. And I hear some of you, and they won't hear some of you. So I think that's part of what we have to do. Trying to do everything for all those animals. It is not the right thing to do not to give those animals more care. Okay, this says you inserted local breeders in your recommendations to the mayor to allow the self-publishing. Why do you support breeders? Thank you. All right, thank you guys for coming.